Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 13th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 30, the third paragraph. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control. Through one paragraph ending, we get worse, never better. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Kate F., readers of the text, Penny L.C., Michelle A.C., and Alice G. Reference number for Sunday, April 12th, is, for the special edition, is 23,357. That's 23357 for the special edition on Sunday. And for this morning, Monday, April 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,363. That's 23363. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Anne SCH, and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone who provides service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. This is Kate F. with our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 30, the third paragraph. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control. Through one paragraph ending, we get worse, never better. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Penny.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is our paragraph. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And here we're in the chapter more about alcoholism. And I believe it could be titled more about compulsive eating or simply more about addiction. Because it's outlining further evidence for me to identify in with some cold, hard truths that are revealed for myself and anyone with an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, not to mention a sickness of the spirit. My hard truth included that I had lost the ability to control my eating and that I would never be able to recover my control, no matter how often or how hard I tried. Sure, dieting or restricting might work for a while, but it was obvious that no way was it sustainable for the long term. Then the real clincher was that my disease progressed and my compulsive overeating more and more got out of control. I was on a one-way road to self-destruction. I was on a runaway train without any brake power. Yet my only recourse before recovery was to just try harder and to keep trying harder some more. I didn't have the ability to turn around on a one-way street or the power to stop a runaway train. I was getting worse all the time. This paragraph is an ongoing reality check to drive home to me that I cannot control and am not able to control my binge food intake, my compulsive eating. That switch is broken and is unrepairable. The best I can hope for is a daily reprieve. However, I cannot even make that happen under my own power. The answer is pointed to, once again, that I need a power greater than me. The bottom line is that there is a solution, but my recovery depends on me connecting with and forming a relationship with my own higher power. With this power, with a capital P, I'm able to be sane and useful one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny LC, to get us started so beautifully. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Doreen N.
Okay, was that Joy MB?
Yes.
Okay,
Doreen
N.
And Doreen N.
Margaret O.
Margaret O.
Ian R.
I heard Ian F. And who was the other gentleman?
Paul. Paul R. Good
Paul
morning.
Paul R. Okay.
KF.
KF.
Bruce E.
Rich.
Okay, I have, let me tell you who I have. I have Joy MB, Doreen N, Margaret O, Ian F, Paul R, KF, and Bruce E.
Marcel F.
Marcel F. Okay, let's stop there.
Regina.
Okay, Regina, I'll put you on at the end. Regina, and what's your initial, Regina?
V.
V, okay. So I have Joy MB, Doreen N, Margaret O, Ian F, Paul R, KF, Bruce E, Marcel F, and Regina V. Joy MB, please get us started, and please let me and everyone else know where you're calling from.
May I be heard?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm Joy MB from California. Thank you so much to everyone who makes this meeting possible, and to you for hosting this morning and all those who are involved. It is, to me, the blessing of my life. I am a bona fide senior citizen, believe me, 80 years on the planet, and I have to tell you that I began attending Overeaters Anonymous meetings in probably 1963 or 64. There's nothing I haven't tried. I thought to myself, who am I and what am I? If, you know, what's going on here? And I kept going to Overeaters Anonymous meetings by the droves, by the millions. As I said, crawling into every loft and every basement, church basement, every garage in San Francisco. But it got me nowhere because, first of all, no one mentioned the Big Book except to say it was for sale. There were not people at that point going through the Big Book's, sentence for sentence, and I'm so grateful for this book. My first sponsor took me through the Big Book, through the steps, at the speed of sound. That didn't work. It worked only a tad for a few weeks, a few months. The second one took me through a little bit, slower, but I thought, what am I, stupid? I'm a retired professor, so that intellect has nothing to do with this. I have two doctorates. What's that got to do with my able and ability to control my food? There is no ability vested in humanity. That's what I feel. If you're human, you're going to need a higher power. The third sponsor took me through in about 2.5 months, and she made me read with her every day for 30 minutes in both the Big Book and the 12x12. During that time, I lost almost 40 pounds, but that wasn't the gift. The gift was my children started speaking to me wantingly, wanting to be with me. My friends said, how have you changed? Because I learned I am not in charge. What a shock. What do you mean I'm not in charge? I've been in charge of everything else. Why not my weight loss? I am not in charge. Only a higher power is in charge. And I am so grateful for this lesson, as late as I've learned in life, as much as it's taken, as someone put it in the meeting, I have been food's bitch. And I'm so glad that Visions has freed me. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy M.B. from California. Doreen N., it's your turn to share, followed by Margaret O. Please let us know where you're calling from. Star 1, Doreen. Okay, perhaps Doreen.
Doreen N.? Nope, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Doreen N. from Austin, Texas. This paragraph hits me at my innermost core. I am and will always be a compulsive eater. Even if I wish it away, I've been one of those people who has been abstinent for a brief period, then I get back in the food, and so on, and go, yo-yo all my life. I've been around the room since 95, had long-term abstinence, and then I don't like to use the word I blew it. I really don't. The disease just reared its ugly head, and it got me once again. But now that I'm in the Vision for You meetings, I'm really grateful that I don't have my same cell phone provider because they charge a penny a minute, and so now I can get in these meetings. But, you know, this program has miraculously, for the past 21 days, given me grace. It has given me peace. It has given me some serenity. I look at the food and I'm fine. I work in a supermarket, and sometimes I'll stare for a moment at the cookie aisle, and I'm like, that's not my food. That's not part of my prescription. When you take a prescription, you have to follow the instructions. Take twice a day before sleep, or, you know, have it with food or whatever. You have to follow a prescription. The prescription is the 12 steps. I have to do it as it is instructed. It's a set of instructions to live a better and fuller life. I have lost the ability to walk. I have lost my legs. The one who props me up and gives me crutches and gives me strength to walk is my higher power. And I know that this program works. I'm one of those people that keeps coming back because there's nowhere else for me to go. There's nowhere else that I'm understood. Everything, every diet plan, just like everybody else, I have tried for a short period of time. Losing 80, gaining, it's just been a nightmare of yo-yo dieting. But now I don't have to do that anymore. I have a food plan, I have a sponsor, and I have a higher power, and I have the steps. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Doreen N. from Texas. Margaret O., it's your turn to share, followed by Ian F.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn, and everyone on the line. It's Margaret O. from Connecticut. I'm gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. Yeah, great paragraph. And, you know, control seems to be the theme on this for me, and for lack of control. And, you know, I'm finding that there's foods that I can safely have because they don't trigger the allergy, but yet they are a little too exciting. Like, I noticed I had lamb chops for dinner last night, and I was a little nervous about it because when I have red meat, like a steak or something, it triggers me. It's too sweet. It's too rich. And the lamb was fine, though. So I felt, you know, like it didn't trigger that mental twist. But, you know, the effects of alcohol, I was just thinking as we were reading this, you know, to the outsider, there's someone stumbling around, they're slurring their speech, they're, you know, not thinking clearly. But, you know, compulsive eating can go unnoticed to an outsider. And I think sometimes that alcoholics, you know, look at compulsive eaters and think, well, they're just, you know, we don't take them seriously. That's, you know, they're just using our material, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, addiction is addiction. And it's a drive to something harmful. And for me, it's, you know, compulsion around foods. But it's also the food behaviors, because I have the physical allergy. So those red light, you know, alcoholic foods are down. But I have compulsive food behaviors that are rooted in like oral obsession. You know, I smoked for many years. I was bottle fed as a baby and probably weaned too early. The youngest of six, my mother was busy, whatever. I forgive her, you know. But, you know, just the body dysmorphia and the cultural pressures and all that kind of those things play into the compulsion and kind of feed it a little bit. So no pun intended. But I do find that I'm learning more about myself. Like, you know, once we become abstinent from our alcoholic foods, I can feel my feelings more. I have more mental clarity. I can work the steps with more honesty and awareness. And one last thing I wanted to say before I forget is I loved hearing the steps to this morning as always, but step four, you know, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. As soon as I heard that, it just put me in like right relationship with God.
Time.
Like, okay. Oh, that's time. You know, I'm always ready to accept that I'm flawed and I may be in the wrong, and that's okay. So that's all. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Ian F., it's your turn to share, followed by Paul R.
Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater out of Indiana. Really grateful to be here with you guys this morning. There's this call that I have made many times and that I've received many times, and it always goes to, follows the script, something to the effect of, I did everything you told me to do, and I still picked up, and I don't know what to do. But, you know, that was last night. And so now I feel like God's got me, and I'm going to do it. And then you get the call again, like, well, I fucked up again, and, and on and on and on and on. And what I think is characteristic of this cycle that we often, you know, that people often refer to as chronic relapsing is the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization is a fancy way of saying, I feel like no matter what I do, I'm screwed. And everything that I try feels like a failure. And this is never going to work. And if you're in that place and you're on this meeting, or if you're on this meeting and you have a sponsee who's, you know, experiencing that, like, I think it's really important that we acknowledge that that's part of step one. And when they say, right, we have lost our ability to control our drinking, We never recover control. This is part of us being convinced of that. You know? And as terrible as the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, we're like, I see no way out of this, is, it's a necessary part of becoming willing to do the work. You know, like you are made aware that, like, no matter how much I exert my willpower on this, I can't do it, you know, and that's not something that you can teach. It's something only the food can teach. But the hope in that is that, again, like, if you are in that place, you're in the right place. Like, that's part of what needs to happen so that you can recover. And when I was in that place, what I didn't know at the time was that I was going to be so convinced by that, that now, you know, 4 years into the program, I sometimes don't want to get on a meeting. I sometimes feel burned out, but I never have a doubt in my mind that this is where I want to be. And I never doubt that this is the work that I need to or want to be doing. And that's a miracle in and of itself. The book later says that John Barleycorn is our greatest advocate, which I think is hilarious because it's a funny name, but it's true. Food is my greatest advocate in that early going. It is going to convince me of something that people cannot. So that's what I've got. And if you guys, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Paul R., it's your turn, followed by KS, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Kate.
Am I going or Kate is going?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Paul? I was unmuting.
Oh, I just heard Kate was talking. Kate started talking as well. Am I the one who's going?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R., compulsive overeater. What a chapter, and like what a paragraph, and what a sentence by sentence. It's just, you know, so powerful that, you know, these people before us trying to tell us to, if you're an alcoholic, that a compulsive overeater, a real one, that I lost the ability to control my drinking. That means I'm not going to be able to eat alcoholic foods anymore. Not going to. I'm not going to recover control. So I have to let go of the control. I have to admit that I'm powerless. I cannot touch those no matter what. And if I'm really serious about it, that, you know, like, it took me 2 years to, like, get really serious about it. Like, I do these things like my life depends on it. I don't mess around with these things. You know, like, anything outside my meal plan that is not approved by my sponsor or by other men, and, I break my abstinence. And if I follow these simple rules and steps, I can be okay. I can be the whole, because it's so much highlight. I had so much. I spent so much time around the food, mentally, and then physically, and then after that, once I get stuck, you know, this last run of mine, I get stuck for 3 months, you know, the amount of weights I put in, and the amount of time I waste, and the people I cut off, and the isolation that I just don't care what you're doing and who you are and how you're doing. I absolutely don't care about anyone and anything. That is just, it's a big incomprehensible demoralization over and over again all the time, and it's never get better. It always gets worse, that progression. And that's why I am a compulsive overeater. That's what makes me different. Then it's a progression. And it starts and it tells me, my, it says it like we just read it before this chapter, like the disease centers in my mind. So I'm not going to pick up food. I'm going to think about it before. It's not going to like walk into my mouth.
Time.
I have to have motive about it. And like coming to this meeting and working the steps, I have a chance to recover one day at a time. So thanks for me to share.
Thank you so much, Paul R. from California. KS, it's your turn, followed by Bruce E. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is KS from Iowa. Thank you so much, Don, for your service. And I apologize to Paul. I was trying to be efficient, and I messed up. So I didn't mean to step on his share. But, yeah, and thanks for everybody for being here. This is, you know, such a gift. So when I read this about the control, oh, my God, you know, that is just so, you know, the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body. And for me, it's like for that personal relationship that there's going to be something I can't control. To me, it's my portal to something bigger than myself. And I don't believe anymore that my slips or my faults or anything or, you know, I mean, that just absolutely clarifies I am a human being. And my journey is just a little maybe rockier road than some and not as bad as others, but it is to give up control and to turn my will and life over to the care of God is just something, it was my invitation into this beautiful world of spiritual life where there's grace and there's things that happen that are miraculous that, you know, that I just can't do myself, but have seen in so many other people and have had it in my own life in other ways. And so a lot of it is what I look at, being convinced. I love this. We are convinced that this type is progressive. It's also that I'm convinced that it is. I really spend that my mind is very active at defending why I'm not quite a pickle, that there's still some cucumber parts left to me that I can, you know, kind of, you know, bank on some of that. And I, it's just a matter. It's not really, it slips to me are just lessons of convincing myself, but no, that doesn't work. And that's what that leads to. And, oh, this one causes this in my body and just paying attention and then relying on something that's bigger than me. And in the meantime, learning, I think, to be a more tolerant and loving person along the way, both to myself and the world. So I feel very grateful that I'm here. I really am very human. I had a perfect thing and then I lost it. And then it's been hell getting back. And so I just accept it all and, you know, pray for the grace of God each day for myself and everyone in the world. So that's all I got. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, KS from Iowa. Bruce E., it's your turn to share, followed by Marcel F.
Okay, thank you. It's Bruce E. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in food addict in Southwest Florida. Thanks, everybody on the line here. Appreciate that I get to share. I'm the real alcoholic. I'm the real food addict. Took me a while to know that or convince myself that I am, because the disease convinced me of it. You know, the disease is what brought me to my knees. It caused me to come in here. Just like it says in here, the incomprehensible demoralization, I came to that point, and then I knew I had to be here. And if I wasn't a real food addict, I wouldn't be here. You know, I'd read this and say, no, that's not me. You know, I'd never read it. But I am a real food addict. You know, I really am. And I'm also a control addict, too. So I've tried to control the food. That doesn't work. And I tried to control other people and tried to control stuff that doesn't work. And none of that control stuff works. Surrender seems to work. And so it says here that we are in the grip of a progressive illness. And that's why it always gets worse. And it even gets worse in recovery. You know, it still gets worse. So if I stayed absolutely for the next 2 years just stayed absolutely perfectly in recovery for the next 2 years. At that point, I still would be more sicker than I am now, but I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. So, but I'm the real food addict. So that means that's why I have to keep coming back here. And other people don't understand this, but you guys, the men and women on here, you understand it. So that means I can keep coming back here and being at a place where people understand me. So keep understanding me, you know. And I understand others that people do or did the same thing that I did, you know, compulsive overeating and trying to control it. And I lost control years and years ago. I have no control over food now. So I have to keep coming back, work in a program, and then, you know, hey,
time,
get in recovery, and that helps. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Marcel F., it's your turn to share, followed by Regina V.
Thank you, Dawn. Marcel F. From Manitoba, Canada, recovered today by God's grace, love, and mercy. And thank you to everyone who makes this meeting possible. I had lost my ability to control my eating. You know, I'm not sure I ever had it. My addiction started very early in life and caused me so much misery as a child and as a young adult. I did feel at times I was regaining control. Ah, that was a conclusion. Repeated attempts, failure after brief success, you all know what I mean, and then complete demoralization and incomprehensible. How could I have messed up again? Oh my goodness. We only get worse, never better. So surrender becomes the only solution. And I was given the gift of desperation. It's not a gift I would have asked for, but it was a gift that I'm so grateful that I got. Today, living in recovery, my higher power, who's God, has restored my health, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And each and every day, I am so grateful for this way of life, freedom from food obsession or food neutrality, the miracle of progressively knowing and being able to live according to my higher power's will for me. It's truly a miracle. To see my role in all of life's messiness and the grace to live otherwise, to learn what is my job and what is God's job. And I'm learning that every day. So thank you so much, everyone. My heart is full of gratitude, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 30 today, that third paragraph. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control. Through one paragraph ending, we get worse, never better. So after Regina shares, I'll take another couple names. Regina, please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V. I'm calling from California, and I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I'm very grateful to be here. I'm grateful for, you know, Vision for You. I never, ever imagined that I had a problem with food. You know, I thought I was the healthiest person on the planet. I would eat very healthy. But at night, I would have my healthy Dave's Killer Bread with the almond butter and the honey and the milk. That's a healthy snack. And I would have that every night. I'd eat healthy all day long, and then I would have that at night. And I thought, that's a healthy snack. But if I went to parties, I would, you know, go crazy with the desserts. And but I was always trying to restrict and control. Little did I know that I had that I was a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until my health was so bad, and I didn't want to go blind because I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I tried to lose weight. I didn't want to take the metformin and all those drugs, Ozempic. I didn't want that. But the doctor told me, you have to lose weight if you don't want to take the medication. And I tried. Oh, my God, my life is on the line. My eyesight's on the line. I could not do it by myself. I could not lose a single pound. And thankfully, somebody told me about another food program. And I joined that program for 4 years. But I was miserable. I didn't have a spiritual awakening. I didn't have a connection with a higher power, with God. And so even though I was very slim and I looked good on the outside, I was miserable in the inside. And something told me, I heard somebody share about OA, the OA program, and something told me that's the program I need to go to. This one's not working out for me. And I struggled. I started in OA last August, 2025, and I struggled, but I wasn't desperate enough to do, what is it, you know, what? Well, like when you say I'm willing to do whatever it takes, right? Anything my sponsor says, if she says stand on your head, I'll do it. I wasn't willing to do that. It was always Regina's will. But this last time, I went up again in weight, and I noticed I was having health issues, very serious ones, and I finally surrendered. I remember it was a weekend, and I said, God, help me. I need help. I need it. And I found, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I found the most amazing sponsor. She's so amazing. I mean, I'll wake up at 5 in the morning just to talk to her, and that's a miracle in itself. So just to wrap up, I'm so grateful. I finally became willing, and I'm desperately seeking a higher power.
Thank you so much, Regina V. from California. All right. Well, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Deborah G.
Jeff A.
Jen A.
Deborah G. And was it Jeff A?
Yeah.
Okay. Deborah G. and Jeff A.
And then Deborah... Jen A. in Colorado.
Okay. Jen A. If I have time. We'll go with Deborah G, followed by Jeff A and Jen A if we have time. So Deborah G, please go ahead. All right. Deborah G, please go ahead and star one, Deborah.
Hi, Sarah. I was thinking about another program. Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers that are on the line today. And I was remembering when I was continually thinking that I wasn't using any alcoholic foods or trying to control the, I have no power. But I didn't realize that. I didn't have that awareness, that consciousness. I was just going through the motions of doing things. And I didn't have an awareness also of all of my alcoholic foods. So I'm still putting alcoholic foods into my body, and of course I have no power, so still going through the motions, even going through the steps, but I couldn't get abstinent. I kept relapsing and relapsing, and it wasn't until I found out about my last alcoholic food that I kept playing around. I knew it was. I finally found out what the alcoholic food was, but still tried to control it. And it just progressed and got worse and worse and worse. And I woke up and saw the progressiveness of it. Fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, shaking salt on every single bite of food. I wasn't even tasting my food. And when I saw that and put that down and called this woman I heard on Special Edition to take me through the steps, and she took me through quickly, I got abstinent. And that was October of 2020. But it was all about that alcoholic food that I wouldn't get let go of. And I'm so grateful for that awareness that that was going on. Oh, by the God's grace, I was given some grace to see that. And I am so grateful to be on this line and to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I hope you all have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Jeff A., it's your turn to share.
Hi, Jeff A., California. What's happened for me is the food is a symptom, but the issue is stormy emotions. I don't know what to do with those stormy emotions, and so I eat instead. And then the incomprehensible demoralization, and I still have the problem, which is usually relationships. So I actually do it one meal at a time rather than one day at a time. It works for me. Right now, I just talked with my sponsor this morning. My brother and I are going on a trip next week, and he's a challenge for me, and I want to have a different room than the one he's picked for me, and I need to talk with him. Sponsor said do it today. So I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try it in a nice way, but have my own room. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm kind of scared about it. But on the other hand, we're in our 60s. It's fine. We have our own rooms. You know, he's trying to have a good time. You know, that's what he wants, and I want to. But I need to take care of myself as well. So, I'm just putting it out there to do this, and hopefully he's okay about it, but maybe he's not. But I'm going to get my own room anyways. And that's the people pleasing has been a problem for me. And so I need to, in a nice way, say I'm going to do this. And we'll see how it goes, but I am going to get my own room. And so that's where I'm at. And I don't want to completely overeat over it.
Time.
And then the food, and then you're done. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. Sorry, I needed to cut you off there. Apologize for that. But it is time now to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Michelle A.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. And Jen A., I'm sorry we didn't have time to hear you share. Please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. Michelle A.C., please go ahead and read for us.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Michelle A.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until